Good morning, church. My name is Mitch, if we haven't met before. Good morning to our brothers and sisters in Roma. Great to have you with us. Please keep a Bible open there as I go through that. I'm going to ask God to speak to us. So let's pray. God, you tell us that in the past you spoke to us through the prophets at many times and in various ways. In these last days you have spoken to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. So can you please speak to us out of Ezekiel 28 this morning? Speak to our hearts, speak about yourselves, and speak really clearly to us about Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I am a political tragic. I'm not sure if I've told you that before. So I've just been watching a lot of TV and reading a lot of news this week. I literally got on the plane Wednesday morning to go to Sydney. I get off the plane and there's a message on my phone from my friend who's an ex-union guy, and he says, "Guess what? We almost got a new prime minister." And then it just kept going and going and going, didn't it? The whole week it just kept going and going. And one of the things that really kind of stood out was there was this thing. Is anyone on Twitter? There's this Twitter account. It's really funny. It's called "Who is the Australian Prime Minister?" It updates every half an hour. And there's the classic change at 12 o'clock, who's the current Australian Prime Minister? Malcolm Turnbull. At 12:30, who's the current Australian Prime Minister? Scott Morrison. But one of the things that really stood out, they were kind of interviewing a lot of people saying, "Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this?" And the kind of thing that everyone kept saying, which I think is true, is that why are these people just so on about themselves? They just seem to be just interested in themselves and forget what it's like with sort of the ordinary kind of everyday people. They're just so focused on their own games and their own world. And as I was hearing that this week and reading this chapter, I reckon it almost comes across that God is a bit like that. That God is really a lot about himself. If you read the book of Ezekiel, from chapter 6 to chapter 28, you get the phrase, "They will know that I am the Lord," 40 times. In the entire book, 68 times, this phrase, "They will know that I am the Lord." And you find yourself asking the question, is God actually just a little bit focused on himself, a little bit self-centered, maybe a bit proud? Why is he talking about himself so much? And this chapter today is going to help us navigate through that question of whether or not God is too focused on himself. And it's going to help us navigate through that question with kind of three things for us to look at if you want to follow along. Three ideas. The first point, we'll meet the nation of Tyre. And the nation of Tyre is a nation that says, "It's me. I'm the one to revolve around." Secondly, we'll meet the nation of Sidon, and Sidon will say, "Well, it's not me, it's them. They're great." And thirdly, we'll look at the Lord and see that it's him. It's me, it's them, it's him. Because as we open chapter 28, we meet the nation of Tyre. And the nation of Tyre is really picturing itself like the sun. You know, we used to think once that the earth was the center of everything and everything kind of revolved around us. Then we found out it was the sun and stuff revolves around the sun. It seems that Tyre has had exactly the same recognition of itself. The king of Tyre seems to believe that everything sort of revolves around him. We meet in the first kind of 24 chapters of Ezekiel, God is speaking to his own people, Israel, and saying, you know, "You've done a terrible job of following me, great sin against me." Then it kind of changes tack, and God speaks to the nation surrounding Israel in an arc from kind of the north and swings around. And it seems the foremost enemy of Israel is this nation of Tyre. And that's who God is going to address in this chapter from verse 2. Speaking to Ezekiel, God says, "Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, 'I am a god, I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas.'" Tyre's king, the nation of Tyre, it has set itself up as a god. It's expecting everyone will kind of spin themselves around it. And the reality is, if you lived in that time and you saw the nation of Tyre, there are actually really good reasons for this. Tyre's king is really good. great at bringing jobs and growth, prosperity to his nation. Verse 4, by your wisdom and understanding, you have gained great wealth for yourself and amassed gold and silver in your treasuries. Not just really good, but the king of Tyre has been put there by God himself. The God of Israel, the God of all, is the one who would put this king of Tyre in his place. In fact, in these next few verses, God speaks about the king of Tyre like he's been put in God's very own special garden, the Garden of Eden, and given his role with great wisdom. Tyre was great and Tyre had God's blessing. From verse 12, son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, great in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Down to verse 14, you were anointed as a guardian cherub. So I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways. It's not as though this king of Tyre had got power by being bad and taking advantage of people. No, this king was good. This king had been put in place by God. And actually, when you see that against the backdrop of God's people in the first sort of 24 verses, the king of Tyre looks like an angel. But then the problem. I think someone told the king of Tyre how good he was. And then he started to realize he was pretty good. An awesome guy. Look what I can do. And I'm pretty good looking as well. Verse 17. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. And all the great achievements of Tyre started to wilt. The great wealth going, the king starting to throw his weight around, started sneaking a bit more for himself, a better chariot, a better castle, better food, fudging the deals to make his life better, and the pride became too much, and God acted. Verse 18, by your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. See, the king of Tyre's issue was not being skillful or rich or powerful. None of those things were particularly a problem. The king of Tyre's issue was making it all about him. The king of Tyre standing up and saying, you know what, it's me. Revolve around me. I'm the one. I'm the greatest. It's obvious, isn't it? I wonder if you ever met anyone like that. Someone who thinks the world revolves around them. I mean, this week as the political stuff went on, you had various people come out and say quite boldly, it's me. I'm the one. Go for me. And we've been in kind of 10 years of that seeming to happen in our political world. You sort of know the language of the person who thinks it's all about them. They don't normally say to you, hey, listen, I just want you to know it's all about me. Nobody really ever says that. But they say phrases like, oh, don't worry, mate, I'll sort it out. I'll take care of that for you. It's all right. Maybe it's you. Maybe you think your way is the best. Maybe you are skilled and powerful, but you're at risk of pride. When your family is working through an issue, maybe you just make a decision without them. Maybe in a team at work or a partnership or a committee, you're sort of working on something together, but you just go and take care of it in the background your way. Always sniping about the boss or parent or teacher or leader. Can be a risk of trying to arrange the pieces so they orbit around you. Not everyone is like that though, are they? Not everyone is like the king of Tyre, thinking that everyone sort of orbits around them. I think there are plenty of people for who, really, they're the planets. You recognize there's something else and you sort of arrange yourself orbiting around that. You're one of the planets looking over there. And as we go on in the passage, we meet the nation of Sidon. And Sidon is not the kind of place that says, you know, it's me. Sidon's the kind of place that looks over and goes, oh no, I'll revolve around that. It's them. And Sidon comes up in these kind of few curious verses that without some background, we're just not really sure what to think about them. You're kind of wondering, why do they come up? Are they really proud as well? Are they like Tyre? What is it about Sidon? Why are they even here? But we actually find out from the rest of the Bible, from other parts of history and from this book, that Sidon is the kind of nation that's got skills. They're workers. They depend on other people for their wealth and security. They offer themselves out for contract hire. In 1 Kings chapter 5, 1 Chronicles 22, Ezra chapter 3, we find out that Sidon has contracted themselves to Israel to provide timber and do work for them. We find out in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, they even contracted themselves to the nation of Canaan when they were doing well. And in the chapter previous to this, in chapter 27 and verse 8, we find out that Sidon are described as the horsepower of Tyre, the oarsmen of the ships of Tyre, in Ezekiel 27 verse 8. Very much a nation that always looks to someone else to revolve around. It's them. Go after them. Let's put ourselves beside them and we'll be good. And just as God acted against the nation that wanted everyone to revolve around them, so God wants these nations to know, actually, it's not other people they should revolve around. They should revolve around him. And so, God says to Ezekiel to speak to Sidon from verse 20. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face against Sidon, prophesy against her and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you and among you I will display my glory. You will know that I am the Lord when I inflict punishment on you and within you and prove to be holy. God is not delighted with someone taking his place. He's not happy when Sidon revolve around the one taking his place. Plenty of us might not have the arrogance of Tyre to think the world revolves around us, but who do you think has the power? What do you think provides the wealth and security? What do you think is worth orbiting around? Is it Malcolm Turnbull or Peter Dutton or Scott Morrison? I didn't see anyone nodding really boldly there. Do you revolve around your wife or your husband? It's just really all about keeping them happy. Do you try and stick close to the person who's got a bit of wealth? Revolve around them. Maybe it's a psychic, fortune teller. Maybe your whole life revolves around your kids. There are all kinds of things we can orbit around. All kinds of things. See, Tyre was good, but ultimately its arrogance became destructive. Sidon, God says, was a little bit foolish for revolving around Tyre, and the only one who was worthy of revolving around in these last few verses is the Lord. The last few verses of chapter 28 are God saying, I want you to revolve around me. And it's our third point here that people are meant to look to God and say it's him. Because it is absolutely true that the Lord wants people to revolve around him. 68 times in Ezekiel, they will know that I am the Lord. He wants it to be about him. Why is he any different to the king of Tyre? Why any different? Let's look at what happens when it does revolve around the Lord. First of all, what it will be like for God's people Israel in verse 24. No longer will the people of Israel have malicious neighbours who are painful briars and sharp thorns. They will know that I am the sovereign Lord. See, the nation of Israel has not only had problems itself, but in reality it's been surrounded by people who keep conquering them. People who have power like Tyre and Babylon and Greece and Assyria and the rest. But the Lord says actually one day he will gather his people And they will see that rather than being proud, the Lord is a ruler like no other. The Lord is a cut above the rest. Holy, from verse 25 of the chapter. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When I gather the people of Israel from the nations where they have been scattered, I will be proved to be holy through them in the sight of the nations. They will live in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. When Tyre got power and people revolved around him, what happened? People were oppressed, people were taken advantage of, all at the expense of others. But when the Lord is at the center of his people, when the people revolve around the Lord, look how it's different. They will gather around the Lord and say, he's right, it's him. Verse 26, they will live there in safety and will build houses and plant vineyards. They will live in safety, says the Lord, when I inflict punishment on their neighbours who maligned them. They will know that I am the Lord their God. There is no doubt that God is unashamedly seeking to put himself at the centre, in the middle of the whole world. He absolutely wants it to be about him. Is it okay? Because I think it's easy to understand why God might seem a bit arrogant in some sense. Because when people want things to be about them, it's generally not a good thing. I mean, it's kind of, you know, universally recognised around Australia that having politicians talk about themselves for a long time doesn't, it's just not great. Their kind of power games leave us really dismayed. And you and I have probably all seen bully bosses or bully parents or bully teachers. People who want it to be all about them insist on their own way, and the result is fear and hiding. We've seen dictators who rule countries with guns and violence. And just the people we know who are really quite sure of themselves. And they're not a delight to be around. People who can't see their faults, they can't see the contributions they make to problems. The people who almost walk around singing the song, "Everybody loves me, baby, what's the matter with you?" We've all seen that. It's probably similar reasons why people don't want to revolve around you and me. You know, I think about me. I'll tell you why people don't want to revolve around me. And the list is endless. You know, before Maddie and I were married, I was engaged once, and it ended, and it was my fault. There are times when I say things that I don't realise are insensitive and hurt people. And it's even if I am good at some things, frankly, the world should not revolve around me. You've probably let people down. Hard words, jobs not done, money wasted. We've all done it. Caused hurt, created tears. You know, at the end of the day, we're really suspicious of people who want the world to revolve around them because we know in our own hearts what a disaster it would be if it revolved around us. None of us should have too much power. You know who was never like that? Never putting himself first, although he could. Never getting just what he wanted without a care for anyone else. It's Jesus. I mean, you think about the character of Jesus as you meet him in the Gospels. Here is a guy with all the power in the world, yet he chooses to come as a baby. Here is a man who could mix the religious elite, but he chooses as his closest friends a bunch of fishermen. Here is a guy who can cast out demons and heal the sick, and yet when little children come to him, he holds out his arms. Here is a man who sees the people who, in terms of public health, are an absolute risk, and yet Jesus touches them. Here is a man whose reputation as the God of the universe is for hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. Here is a man who is falsely arrested, yet willingly goes. Here is a man in a kangaroo court with fake witnesses, but compliantly obeys. here is a man who goes on a cross as the Lord of the universe and has people walking past him minute by minute, yelling abuse at him. You idiot, you said you could save others, save yourselves. And in his final moments, as his breath is heaving, rather than getting power at the expense of others, the Lord Jesus cries out, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." You know, the Lord, he used his power to die on a cross to take our demerits with God. Even though it was you and it was me at the wheel of the car revolving around anything but God causing damage on the road of life, Jesus volunteers to say, "I was the driver. I'll take the demerit points. I'll die on the cross on your behalf." Because God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is absolutely about himself, but he does not use his power to crush and to plunder. He uses his power to share his glory. His heart's desire is that people would have every good thing he has. Jesus' words in John 17, "May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me so that they may be one as we are one." The God who dies for our sin and seeks to share his glory. Of course it should be about him. Of course it should. It's not proud, it's not arrogant, it's realistic. How foolish would it be of God to say, "Oh no, it should be about other people's," when he knows he's the only pure, perfect one? If we orbit around anything else, the result will be hurt and disappointment and regret. Orbit around Jesus, share in God's glory and God's goodness. I reckon this is a reminder to us to make sure we don't revolve around something that's going to do us no good. You know, we're going through a leadership change at the moment, not just in this country, but in this church. We're in the process of working through the senior minister things. And one of the great things I reckon about DPC, at least in the time I've been here and from what I can understand of the history, is it hasn't majorly revolved around personalities. There's been a broad commitment to the Lord Jesus, a commitment to do what our mission says, which is to follow Jesus who calls us together to grow and go reach the world. And it's so important for us because no matter what happens, no matter who has what role, no matter which decisions we make, we've got to be people who orbit around Jesus. And as we go forward together, whatever we do as a church family, it must never be about our own reputations, our own ministries, our own kind of influences, not mine, not yours. We must keep being committed to following Jesus who calls us together to grow and go reach the world. Nothing else will be for our good like Jesus as a church and in our lives. Maybe today is the day for you that you finally change your orbit. The day when you start to begin to revolve around Jesus. Because I reckon there are most people at church this morning, I reckon you would revolve around Jesus, and this is a good time for you to be praying for other people. But there are some of you here this morning who haven't put your faith in Jesus, and actually I want to give you a chance to do that. To ask for forgiveness for revolving around the wrong thing. To ask for forgiveness if you've been trying to get everyone to revolve around you. I want you to trust Jesus for forgiveness and to be blessed by him. So actually this morning I'm going to pray and give you the chance to pray in your own heart and mind after I do that. And if you are a Christian, this is a good time for you to pray for others. Here's what I'll pray in a minute if you want to copy it. This is what I'm going to pray. I'm going to say, "God, you are the centre of all things. Forgive me for not putting Jesus at the centre of my life. Thank you that Jesus died for my sin. Thank you that you love me. Change my life to revolve around you. I'm going to pray. God, you are the center of all things. Forgive me for not putting Jesus at the center of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sin. Thank you that you love me. Change my life to revolve around you. Amen. Hey, if that's a prayer that you've prayed for the first time this morning, we'd love to know that. Can you tell a Christian friend around you, or you can talk to me or Ross or one of the elders or a small group leader? We'd love.